I'm Tom Adler, and I'm here this morning at the Art Museum of Greater Lafayette with Al Pounders, an artist who lives and works in West Lafayette, who has works in our permanent collection. Thanks for joining me this morning, Al.
Sure.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background, the things that might have affected your decision to become an artist, and maybe a little bit about your formal training?
Well, actually, I think it all focused when I was in art school, at the Albright Art School in Buffalo, New York, where I studied with some very serious and very good painters, including a man named Al Blaustein, whose teaching I used myself when I was teaching, and whose serious commitment to being a painter inspired me and told me that, yeah, you can do this. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in graduate school at Cornell, there was a man named Peter Kahn, who was also a very good painter, a philosopher, in fact, he just showed me how you can live and be an artist at the same time. He and I share some things in our family. He has six daughters,
okay,
and I have six children too. So we had that kind of family life. So being an artist and having a family aren't mutually exclusive. And so through them and through my own studies, I've always been a student of art history. I've always looked back and saw what had been done and how well it had been done and how it succeeded, and tried to find some of that conviction about how things should be done as a painter, tried to get that into my own work. So I've been heavily influenced by all kinds of things, and I've done all kinds of experimental painting in my work, always figurative, meaning always working directly from nature, from something that was out there. I've never had any success being a painter that simply pulled it out of my imagination. And I think, well, Cézanne's example, when he was a young painter, he did horrible paintings because he was working not from nature, but from ideas of from mythology or from religion or for something. And those are terrible paintings. Until he came across Pissarro, who was an older painter, who was kind of a mentor to all the painters of his time in Paris. And Pissarro said, look at nature. Work from nature. That you'll never go wrong, and that's where Cézanne's greatest work is, when he worked directly from a model or from a still life or from a place, and it's all genuine. I've always used that as an example to have a firm grounding in what I was doing. And I continue to do that today.
I mean, I know place became very, very important and central in your paintings of the Italian countryside, the Umbrian paintings, which are somewhat later in your development from the ones we have here in the museum. But maybe we'll talk about those a little bit first. How you began painting those, and what you were hoping to accomplish with that series.
Well, first of all, it was a sabbatical year from my teaching at Purdue that took me to Italy, and I went to this particular area of Italy, where a painter friend of mine had a house, and he rented it to me. And Lauren and I, my wife, lived there for a year. And it was on a mountain, on Monte Acuto, and from that house we could see these wonderful landscapes, these wonderful places. It was spectacular, because it was in a mountainous area. But this mountainous area was being farmed. It was being cultivated by the local people. And the configurations of their fields, of their orchards, of their vineyards were just so wonderful against the landscape of these mountains and in these valleys that I couldn't not try to paint that. Mm-hmm. And that was begun in 1986. And I've been doing Umbrian landscapes ever since. Mm-hmm. There's just no stopping it because there's so much there. And it's a good thing for me that I'm doing it now, because as in the United States, these little farmers are disappearing. Mm-hmm. The younger people can't make a living as farmers. So they're going into the city and are finding other occupations. And so this is going to be gone. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it's going to be gone. Yep. Mm-hmm. In places like that.
No, I mean, the Umbrian landscapes are so remarkable for that bold use of color you have. I have one in my living room and see it every day, look at it every day, gaze at it every
yes,
day.
I
it's
know.
Just wonderful. Can you talk about that use of color, perhaps, and how it clearly is not realistic in the sense that the fields did not have those bold colors when you looked at them?
But. Right. Well, I always painted in the warm months when we were there. We spent a couple of winters in Italy, but everything's green. and in the fall, when it gets dry, everything gets a little brownish. Well, some of that color is fine, you know, it's subtle and it's beautiful, but I wanted to deal with the heat of summer. And I didn't find that green quite worked for me, so I had to invent ways of using that color and making it work, which is always a challenge when you're looking at something and then trying to redo it. But that's, of course, what painters do anyway. Mm-hmm. They work through their own feelings, through their own reactions to what they see, and they select and exaggerate and eliminate and do a lot of changing, and so the color is part of that process. Mm-hmm. But it has to be genuine, otherwise it becomes decorative, you know, then you're doing wallpaper instead mm-hmm. of paintings, you know. Mm-hmm. So but color has always been a big factor in my work. As a matter of fact, when I was an undergraduate student in Buffalo, Al Blaustein, one of my teachers, was very much a colorist and very mm-hmm. much got us to study and think about color. Especially, well, he took us outside and said, okay, go with this idea. The sky is not blue, tree trunks are not brown, the grass is not green. And if you go and look at that stuff, then you'll realize that it's kind of true. If mm-hmm. you'll find other stuff in there that's not so superficial mm-hmm. in terms of color. And color can be a structural thing, too. When I was in graduate school, I tried to teach myself structure, which means partially how to make space work, how to make forms come forward and other forms move back, and how you can do that with color. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of artists who've done that before me. I certainly didn't innovate in that sense. And so tradition, that's part of tradition. And you want to learn what these other people do so that you don't come up saying, gee, I invented that when it's already been done. Right. somebody said that, when I read that, what needs to be said has already been said. But since people haven't been listening, you have to say it over again. And to some extent, painting is like that, I think.
Now, the works we have in our permanent collection, we have a still life with the French flag.
Yes.
And then we also have one of your wonderful circle paintings, the white dress with the mole skulls, mm-hmm. and three prints of other articles of clothing, the Hoosier band jacket.